idea of God. I want God. Right? Know the enemy's intention. So someone once asked me a while ago, how do you get discernment? Like, how do you know what's of the enemy and what's of God and so on and so forth? Well, first of all, it says in the word. It's clear what's of him and what's not. But second, I think the easiest way to get you started on discernment is know and believe. John 10. How does the devil come? To steal, kill, and destroy. How does Jesus come? If it's not bringing life and life more abundant, it's not God. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, we know where it's from. Know his character and know the enemy's intention. Second point. To value his presence. You value his presence when you make an effort. If you're taking notes, underline effort. When you make an effort to acknowledge him in all your ways. I'm going to speed through these three scriptures. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Psalm 37, 3 through 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Don't just trust him. Do the right thing, too. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness, because he's always faithful, right? Delight yourself also in the Lord. Are you delighting in God, or what are you delighting in? Your Instagram page? Right? And he shall give you the desires of your heart. God's putting something on your heart. Are you receiving it? Are you focused on it? Are you ready to receive it, or are you letting yourself be distracted by other things that aren't part of your calling? Right. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Mark 12, 29 through 30. Jesus answered, the first and most important one is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. This isn't in my notes. He is one Lord. You can't pick and choose what side of Jesus you want. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that's your life, and with all your mind, thought, understanding, and with all your strength, with all your effort, with everything that you are. Love him. This is the second. You shall unselfishly love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. I had to include that one because they go together, right? How many of you have ever heard of the five love languages? Familiar with that? So this author, psychologist, or whatever, came up with these terms that a lot of, actually Christians, I hear, use them a lot. So I'm just going to reference them really quick. So it's quality time, words of affection, acts of service, physical touch, and gifts. And the basic concept is everyone kind of just mainly is a good receptor of one of these and a good giver of one of these. Right, and so it's good in relationships to kind of know where your partner lies, or your friend lies, or your whoever lies, because then you can kind of help love on each other in a way that you receive, right? That's a basic concept. And I think it's pretty simple for us to catch when it comes to each other. But what about with God? Who is love? God loves you with his all and desires you to love him the same. He doesn't hold back in any category. So he doesn't want you to hold back in any category either. Yeah. Quality time. God, the creator of time, is with you all the time. So he gives you 100% quality time. You cannot beat him. Right? And many of us do give him some time. Whether it's the bare minimum of praying before our food or taking time fasting and praying, whatever it might be, everyone's at a different place. My question to you is not how much time you're giving him, which should always increase. My question to you is, are you giving him quality? Or are you like the person in my illustration earlier? Just on your phone, sipping your own coffee. We should do this sometime again, Lord. Right? Words of affection. God loves you with loving kindness. He can't break. He can't change. This love is relentless. And he declares life and goodness over you constantly. One of the things that I remember, there was a season where we would be in worship, and I always felt like the same kind of impression on my heart from the Holy Spirit of just, I love you. I'm like, yeah, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for loving me. But can you say something else this time? Sometimes we want answers from God, but we don't receive God. Are we giving him affection? Are we pouring out our affection upon him? Or are we just giving him lip service? The Bible says they draw close to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Acts of service. Jesus served us in the most radical way, right? And he continues to serve us. He sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, right? He never stops. Even God answers our prayers. This is a constant service to us, right? And God has promises for us. These are part of this service love language, right? His promises to us are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. You have to be in Christ Jesus to receive the yes and amen. Are you serving? Or are you the type of person who says, do everything for me? And I'm not just talking about serving on Sunday and Wednesday, which I hope you all do. But I mean, are you serving him? Lord, what do you want me to do today? Or are you just, God, this is my problem. Help me here. God, can't believe this happened. I need this. Are we doing that? Just constantly calling on him serving us, but never serving him in return? Physical touch. Holy Spirit lives inside of us. But he also works through others. There's been times where I didn't know what I needed, but somebody just came up and hugged me, and I knew that they were led by the Holy Spirit, and I just started to weep. God works through people. Don't think he's untouchable. Yes, we want the feels. Yes, we want that warm feeling of God's presence. Yes, seek that. Cool. You know, yes, we want God to, you know, sometimes people feel like something warm, like they got a healing or something like that. Great. Amazing. But don't undervalue what he can do through the person next to you. Are you willing to be his vessel on this earth? Are you willing to be that person who does a physical act on his behalf? Gifts. gifts of the Spirit. He's given us everything we need for life and for godliness. He's held nothing back, not even his own son. Why would he hold anything back from us? But are we giving, or are we just taking? Giving is a show of trust, too. Like, if I like making gifts for people. If I spent a lot of time making something for someone, and then I'm giving it to them, I'm trusting that they're going to value it enough not to at least throw it away. Right? Yeah. At least use it for a while. Yeah. Right? God gives us gifts, but are we using them? And then are we giving him anything in return? Point number three. You value his presence when you actively trust in him, his character, his nature, in all circumstances. So, I wasn't sure if I was going to share this tonight, but Pastor Isaac gave me time. So, starting in 2019, my brother Jeremy, who had been having health trouble his entire life, his health was starting to decline. And in 2020, it got to the point that his mind was going to. And it was like living in a spiritual warfare. Like, you could feel the enemy's presence and just the paranoia, the things that he would do, the random, just everything. His mentality was breaking. It got to the point where he ended up acting like he used to as a kid. And he had that trust in God like he did when he was a kid. Just that, mommy, pray for me. Sister, pray for me. I don't think I could ever describe to you the torment of that time period in my life. But there's something my family and I did. And it's that right there. That no matter the circumstance, it's not going to change who my God is. I'm not going to blame him. And the way that we prayed was, God, he's healed, either here or there. But either way, the enemy's not getting any credit for this. Skip to earlier this last year. My dad suddenly starts getting sick. His health rapidly declines and he passes away as well. Our prayers didn't change. My view of God didn't change. In all circumstances, I know God's heart. I know his character. I know his nature. That doesn't mean I'm emotionless. And I feel like sometimes we suppress our emotions because it's like, especially in church, it's like we're not allowed to be depressed because depression is bad. We're not allowed to be afraid because being afraid is bad. We're only supposed to smile and say, God bless you. Like, I just feel like that's such a misconception that we take to heart. God has emotions. He got upset. He got sad. The problem isn't our emotions. The problem is we're seeing our emotions as who we are instead of using them as the tools they are. Use your emotions. You're sad? Who's going to fill you with joy? Pursue the joy giver. You feel lonely? I feel like loneliness is a great barometer for showing you I can get closer to God. Right? Take any emotion. Use it as a tool, a catalyst to draw you closer to God. What about circumstances? Stuff happens. Should we just, oh well, it happened, have to get over it. Hopefully God will help me get through the trauma. Right? But what if we see circumstances as opportunities? If we take our prayers to God, if we take our circumstances to God and say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know that you turn all things to good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to turn the circumstance. I don't know if I'm going to see the change now or years down the line of how you turned it around to my good, but I know you're going to turn it around to my good. And I'm giving you this circumstance as an opportunity for you to do something. I'm not going to hold on to it myself and wallow in fear. I'm going to take this circumstance as an opportunity to say, God, you can do abundantly above anything that I ask, think, or desire. Our family lost both my brother and my dad in a matter of a couple years. And our dogs too. We never stopped coming to church. You see me all the time. You never saw me stop worshiping. Because I know who my God is. My God isn't the circumstance I walked through. My God is the one who walked with me through my circumstance. Can you turn to 1 Peter 5:5-11? I want to close with this because it echoes back to what we saw with Elisha. And at first glance, you might not see it, so let me help you see it, okay? This is the scripture that says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Remember, these prophets honored God's word, they held fast to his presence, and they cast their cares upon him, right? So let's look at the verse that says to cast your cares. In the same way, you who are younger, I think everyone but Isaac is younger than me here. You who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. I have authority figures over me too. Don't worry about it. And all of you, dress yourselves in humility. In the same way you who are younger must accept the authority. Honor the word. Honor the spirit. Honor the person God put in charge over you. Do you see it? Same pattern. As you relate to one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Relate to each other. Don't think you're better than each other. Show honor towards your leaders and relate towards each other. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. Hold fast to his presence. Hold fast to him. Humble yourselves under his mighty power. Lord, I can't do this alone. I need you. Humble yourselves under him. And at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. I used this example before a long while ago, but Oop. I need this. It's not like God thinks you don't have cares. How can you cast something you never had? The word cast reminds me of casting a net. Turn it into an opportunity. Turn your circumstances, your worries, your cares, turn it into a net and cast it on God. Say, God, what are you going to do with it? I want you to take it. Don't just be like, oh, I don't care. I cast my emotions. I cast it. I don't care. It's not mine. No, cast it expecting God to do something. Giving him the opportunity to do something. Give all your cares, your worries to God, for he cares about you. Elisha cared enough about somebody's acts. In this grand significance of things, I don't think that axe changed the world. I don't think that axe brought healing to a situation. I don't think that axe really had a huge effect on that person's life in the long run, except for perhaps their relationship with God and what we're preaching tonight. Amen. But he cares. So cast your cares. No matter how small you think they are, they matter to God because you matter to God. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy. Know his intention. The devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. You're not alone. Don't act like it. We see submission to leadership. We do that through honoring the word, honoring the Holy Spirit, honoring the people in authority over us. Come under God, come under his mighty power, hold fast to his presence, and then cast your cares. Why? Because of who he is. Because he cares for you. Know who he is. Know his heart. Know his intention. How can you ever be shaken by the God who's so faithful? That he's always with you. Gives you 100% of his time. Gives you 100% of everything. He holds nothing back from you. Seek him for who he is. Seek him in your finances. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Seek him for wisdom. He is El Dea. Seek him in your fear. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Seek him in your health, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Seek him in your loneliness. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is our God. We are his people. If he's your God and you're his person, then act like it. Treat him like he's real because he is. You want to seek him. You want to find him. You want to ask and find. You want things to change in your life. Change this first. Change your image of God to who he really is. And change your idea of how you seek him to actually seeking him. Practically. Every day, all the time. In everything you say and in everything you do. Amen. Lord Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that this word spoken tonight does not return to you void, but it accomplishes exactly what you set it out to do, Lord God. Draw us closer to you so that you can draw closer to us. I thank you, Lord, for breakthroughs. Not just breakthroughs in circumstances, Lord God, but breakthroughs in ruts, Lord God. Of this, I want to change, but I can't, and I don't know how. Lord, give practicals. Give your Holy Spirit. For those of you who aren't filled with the Holy Spirit yet, receive Christ and then ask. Ask, seek, and knock for the Holy Spirit, and he will come into your life. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit being present in this place and among us, Lord. And I pray that these people here, Lord God, would just choose you. And that these words would not be forgotten, but they would be meditated upon and received, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity that you gave me today to speak what you'd have me to say. And I pray that everyone right now will just go home safely and dwell in your presence. In the name of Jesus, amen.